issue today, we're going to look at what is a witch. Because I do know they infiltrate churches. Okay, witchcraft in the church. This is on a website because I have a lot of scriptures I'm going to show you this morning about what God says is a witch. So we're going to do all types of understandings. Okay, so this is from worldchallenge.org. A number of converted witches are going about the country today warning that Satanists and practicing witches are infiltrating the church. Now, see, that's why Shalom Girl called me last week to tell me these women have infiltrated my ministry. She was warning me, you know, type of deal. So there's been a lot going on with that. But anyway, infiltrating the church, especially charismatic churches. Some of these former witches have authored books telling of a diabolical plot by evil witches to enter congregations posed as super spiritual Christians. Their purpose is to deceive and shipwreck pastors and to lead multitudes of naive believers into occult worship. And as I have visited churches, I can tell you many of these churches have gotten into all that yoga and all that contemplative prayer and all that stuff. Many of these evil witches, they say, are already firmly established in numerous churches, controlling both the pastor and congregation, and, look at this, causing great confusion, wickedness, divorce, and even death. We have received many letters in our office from people who say they believe their pastor is under some kind of demonic influence, and I believe many of these letters are very legitimate. Saints, we in the body of Christ dare not to allow the devil's power to be magnified in the house of God. That's the truth. Okay, so let's move on to what is the official definition of a witch? This is according to the Merriam-Webster. It says, in many religious traditions, including Christianity and Judaism, witchcraft and related practices like divination and sorcery are considered sins and are forbidden. The Bible explicitly condemns witchcraft and related practices, viewing them as a form of rebellion against God and a path to demonic influence. Deuteronomy 18:10-12 says, let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or cast spells. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is rebellion and idolatry. The Bible equates rebellion with the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness with iniquity and idolatry. Okay, let's move on here. Let's see here. 1 Samuel 15:23 states, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Deuteronomy 18:10-12 says, let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Okay, witchcraft often involves practicing perceived as supernatural or beyond ordinary human abilities, such as casting spells, performing rituals, and communing with spirits or deities. It can include seeking knowledge or power from sources other than God, which is considered idolatry. Some traditions of witchcraft incorporate knowledge of herbs, plants, and natural remedies for healing and other purposes. Now, see, that's why I've always avoided, natural remedies, because they've always equated to witchcraft. But I've learned it is how they do it, because God does give us natural herb for medicine. He does give us food for medicine. And that's what all these herbs are, you know, plants and food and. But if they're taking that and they're using it for witchcraft purposes like spells and all that kind of stuff, of course, that's wrong. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Okay, the Bible equates rebellion with the sin of witchcraft, suggesting that rejecting God's authority is a form of spiritual rebellion. Stubbornness is also linked to iniquity and idolatry, further emphasizing the seriousness of rejecting God's word. Examples of witchcraft in the Bible. King Saul's consultation with a witch at Endor is a notable example of engaging in witchcraft. The Bible also mentions other instances of people practicing divination, sorcery, and other forms of witchcraft. Okay, so let's move on to another definition. This is in the Britannica Encyclopedia. Witchcraft term applied to harm brought upon others through the use of supernatural or occult powers. The person engaging in witchcraft is called a witch. While the act of causing harm may be termed cursing, hexing, bewitchment, or maleficium, a belief in a malevolent witchcraft has been found across many societies throughout recorded history. Sometimes witches are believed to act alone and at other times to operate in tandem with other witches, often as part of a conspiracy opposed to the moral norms of their communities. While witches are often a product of imagination, folklore, and fiction rather than reality, what a farce. In many cases, there have been people who have tried to curse others and who in some instances might be considered themselves to be witches. Okay, so now let's move on here. We're going to look at what does Wikipedia say about witchcraft, because we know that they are the ones telling the world what witchcraft is from their definition. So here we go. Witchcraft is the use of alleged supernatural powers or magic by a person called a witch. Traditionally, witchcraft means the use of magic or supernatural powers to inflict harm or misfortune on others, and this remains the most common and widespread meaning. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, witchcraft thus defined exists more in the imagination, but it has constituted for many cultures a viable explanation of evil in the world. The belief in witches has been found throughout history in great number of societies worldwide. Most of these societies have used protective magic or counter magic against witchcraft, which we don't do that. We pray in tongues. We use our spiritual authority. We don't use witchcraft against witchcraft. No way. And have shunned, banished, imprisoned, physically punished, or killed alleged witches. Anthropologists use the term witchcraft for similar beliefs about harmful occult practices in different cultures, and these societies often use the term when speaking in English. Okay, belief in witchcraft is a malevolent magic, is attested from ancient Mesopotamia and in Europe. Belief in witches traces back to classical antiquity. In medieval and mid... Okay, you know they're going to go through all this. Now, while magical healers and midwives were sometimes accused of witchcraft themselves, they made up a minority of those accused. European belief in witchcraft gradually dwindled during and after the Age of Enlightenment. Why? Because they got into New Age, huh? Okay, so the most common meaning of witchcraft worldwide is the use of harmful magic. Belief in malevolent magic and the concept of witchcraft has lasted throughout recorded history and has been found in cultures worldwide, regardless of development. Most societies have feared an ability by some individuals to cause supernatural harm and misfortune to others. This may come from mankind's tendency to want to assign occurrences of remarkable good or bad luck to agency. Basically, they're just trying to cause harm to others. Okay, now let's look at what the word divination means. Divination is the practice of seeking knowledge of the future or the unknown by supernatural means. Divination is the practice of determining the hidden significance or cause of events, sometimes foretelling the future by various natural, physiological, and techniques. An example of divination is tarot cards. to seek guidance or insight into a situation or decision. Astrology, palmistry, reading tea leaves, or, you know, like your horoscope. So here's examples of divination. Divination is the practice of attempting to determine the hidden significance or cause of events, sometimes foretelling the future by various natural, physiological, or techniques. Tarot cards, astrology, palmistry, tea leaf reading, scrying, never heard of that term. It means gazing into a reflective surface such as mirror or water to see visions or gain knowledge. Never even knew people did that. Ouija board. Using a board with letters and numbers, we know about Ouija board. Bibliomancy, opening a book at random using the first passage or sentence as a message. What? Bibliomancy, like romance. Never heard that before. Never heard that before. Okay, so let's see what the Bible says about it. Okay, so here's the Bible verses. Leviticus 19:31, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wisdoms. Seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Deuteronomy 18:9-12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God gives thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Leviticus 20:27. A man also or woman that has a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, I asked the Lord one time, why do you stone them? I mean, what is, you know, the purpose of stoning? And he told me that we are a house. So people that get stoned means that the world rejects them. They reject everything about them, their house, who they are, etc. Okay. Leviticus 26. And the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. In other words, it's an abomination. And what is witchcraft? Really, if you just put it down in a nutshell, witchcraft is rebellion against God. It is a stubborn head. It's a know-it-all. You know, it's a, I don't know, but it says rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And so it's where they try to figure everything out and, you know, whatnot, and they want to affect others. Leviticus 26. And the soul, okay, I read that. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Let's see. Here we go. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Deuteronomy 18:10. There shall not be found among you any one that makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter. See, I think this also has to do with geometry. I think it's how you say it, geometry. This is where they do the numbers. It's kind of like I see it like a Ouija board. They try to figure everything out by numbers, you know, or a witch. Isaiah 8:19. And when they shall say unto you, speak unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Galatians 5:20-21, which we just read. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. 2 Chronicles 33:6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire. I think we read that one already. Okay, let's move to 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity. Now, you cannot make this up. That pastor tells me this morning, because he's been up half the night getting ready for Sunday already. See, this is why I love him as pastor. He is like this. And he said, you know, I am preaching this Sunday on iniquity. And now that we see that iniquity is mixed with witchcraft, you can't make this up. God had him up half the night on this. And I have a dream about the witches coming after me type of deal. Okay, so because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Revelation 22:15. For without are dogs and sorcerers. Okay, let's talk about what it means for without. In Revelation 22, it's talking about the last day when the new Jerusalem has come down and we're all in the new city. And he's saying, for without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. 1 Chronicles 10:13-14. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Acts 19:19. Many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them. 2 Kings 21:6. And he made his son pass through the fire. Wow, this is many times in the Bible, huh? And observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Isaiah 47:8-14. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwelleth carelessly, that says in your heart, I am, and none else beside me, I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. Okay, I want to tell y'all this real quick, and then I have a few more scriptures to read. Let's see, go to this one. Okay, nope, I already read them all. When I was in Washington, D.C., they made me the captain of the U.S. Capitol. And when I was, my job was to walk around the Capitol, to walk around the House buildings, to walk around the Senate buildings, and to pray. Well, we know that, you know, we used to consider that the Democrats were the evil people, and the Republicans represented the Christian side, so they were the good people, you know. And this is the belief, in other words, that I had when I went to Washington, D.C. So I felt like I was in a battle to fight the good versus the evil. You know, and this is the image that they want to put out there. You know, red is good and blue is evil type of deal. So when I'm up there, though, God begins to show me they're all evil. They're all together, this whole system. It's just that they use the Hegelian dialect, you know, where they talk in two different tongues. You know, one is red and one is blue. But they're just coming after the people in different ways that people will understand it. It's called communications, which is my master's degree, corporate communications, but God showed me out there. And so after I was there, I guess about a month, the Lord showed me there's witches. And what they do is they put them in a room blessed by the Senate, where they put them in a room towards the Capitol, like it's in a corner position that faces the Capitol, the windows. And they can cast their spells against our government, our Christian government, okay? And this is the way I saw it back then, you know. And I knew that I was in a battle in prayer against this force of this coven that they brought in, who had rights to our building, you know, which gave them rights to our government. You see what I mean? Because everything is done by legalism with Satanism. You have to open the door. This is why I'm telling you, they cannot force that V on you. If they force it on you, you can reject it because you have not opened the door, which I hate to say this, but it's just the truth. If you go to the hospital, if you go to any place where you give them authority over you and you sign your rights over, that is giving them the authority. So they can give you shots or whatever they want to do. So I'm talking about if they just walk up to you on the streets where there is no other authority that's given permission and it's just you and them and they try to jab you, you know, you have the authority to cast that thing off because you tell them that I don't accept it. This is not... I give you no permission, but the point I'm trying to say is everything is legalist. Satan needs you to give permission. He needs you to open the door, okay? So by our government opening the door and giving them permission in our halls, our consecrated halls, you know, which is supposed to be ran by the Constitution, you know what I mean? And to go in there and to cast spells against our government and against the Christian body of the nation type of deal. So I would have to battle these things, and I knew it too. When I would walk down that hall and I'd get near that door, I could feel the evil. And I would just, but see, here's the difference. Was I scared of them? No, absolutely not. You know why? Because God put me in that city, which means God gave me the authority. When he puts a prophet, not trying to say I'm a prophet, but he put me there and he did give me authority and he did tell me to pray and to do this and do that. So that's what I consider. So when I prayed over these things, you know, I come against those spirits all the time. And then not only them, but I'm trying to let you know how witchcraft has infiltrated our government, is what I'm trying to tell you today. One day I was out there praying, and the Lord showed me in the spirit. This was in front of the U.S. Capitol. And he showed me what the demon looked like that was over the U.S. Capitol. And to people that don't understand demons will probably listen to this and think this is such a farce, you know, because you're not going to understand it. But this is what God showed me. This demon that I was battling over the U.S. Capitol was a big, big fat green demon that was humongous. It was green and slimy looking, and it had a big old tongue that come out real thick, and it rolled all the way from the top of the tower where it has that Statue of Freedom up there. The tongue rolled down all the way across the yard, all the way over to the Supreme Court, and out of that demon was vomit. And it was going like this. Well, I knew it was perversion because years ago I was in a church with a bunch of other ministers. And I knew all these people. And I was on one side of the church. And, you know, I was single through all this. And I was over there just worshiping the Lord. And, you know, in my worship, I'm very intimate with the Lord. You know, I love to worship. And so across the aisle on the other side on the same row was a married man. And he was there with his wife. And so I'm just worshiping the Lord, you know, and I'm telling him how much I love him and everything. And all of a sudden, I feel this ugly green demon looking at me. And it was that man. It was the married man. And I looked over and it was that demon. The one with the big green, with the, he had his mouth open. And he was going like lusting over me. I looked at that thing and I said, in the name of Jesus, you will leave this building right now and not interrupt my worship again. And so he left. Well, I continued worshiping the Lord. But let me tell you what happened to this man. After that day, he became obsessed with me. He would write me on Facebook, and I blocked him. And then he would try to call me. I would block him. So he tried every way to get in touch with me. So one day, I guess it was a couple of weeks later, because I'm sitting here thinking, what is wrong with this man? You know, he is he is a married man. I am a single woman. What is wrong with this man? So I go to this meeting with all these pastors in Nashville. And, you know, it was a big fellowship deal that they have once a month. So I went and I sat down at this table and here he came. Now, he was friends because he called himself apostle. He was a big apostle in Nashville. Well, he was friends with this other guy who called himself an apostle, and he was sitting across the table from me. Excuse me, I gotta get a drink. So he was sitting across the table from me, you know, with his wife. And there was a chair empty sitting next to me. So here he come. And he sat over there right next to me. I was like, no, get this perverted guy away from me, you know. And so he began talking to me. And I was trying so hard to be churchified, if y'all know what I'm saying. All of you that know what I'm saying in ministry, you try very hard, you know. And so I'm like, hello, how you doing? You know, trying to keep up this face in front of everybody. And I tried very much to ignore him. Oh, I tried. So when the service was over, I was standing over at this table with my purse. And he walked over to me and he blew up like you wouldn't believe. That devil in him manifested. He goes, what is wrong with you? Why won't you talk to me? You have blocked me everywhere. And I looked at him and I thought to myself, you old foul devil, you exposed me right here in front of everybody. I said, you know what, sir? So I let him have it. I said, I'll tell you why I'm ignoring you. You, and I was banging on the table because now we had everybody's attention. I said, you are a married man. And you should not be talking to me, sir. I am a single minister here. And he said something. No, this is what it is. I started off and I said, you have a demon. That's why I'm ignoring you. And I busted him out and told him, you have a demon. And I said, you are a married man, sir, and you should not be talking to me. And he looked at me. He was so embarrassed because I busted him out in front of everybody. So he looked at me. He said, can you cast it out? I said, I sure can. So he said, let's go outside. So me and his friend who was standing there and watched this guy got busted out for having a lust demon. We go outside and we casted him out. So I left there, and I guess it was a couple of weeks later, I went to another event where he was at. And I was on the front row with a bunch of people, and he was over on the left side. He was on the front row with his peeps, okay? So I'm walking around, you know, greeting everybody and whatnot, and I walked over there, and he's, you know, just dying to talk to me. And so me thinking, you know, that he's been delivered and everything, I give him a second chance, you know. So I'm shaking his hand like I do all these other ministers, you know. And I walked off, and I walked back over to my side. And those women that was with me said, "We are grossed out to no end." I'm like, "What? What do you mean?" They said, "That man that you just shook his hand, he is looking at you like he could tear you up. He is so full of lust for you, it is pathetic." And I said, "Oh, my world, I thought we cast that thing out." So it ends up that his wife left him, and, you know, he went downhill since then. But the sad thing is, the reason I'm telling you that is, I know what this demon looks like. I have battled this thing. But see, you guys that know my testimony and stuff know why it is so important to go through deliverance. Because when you know how the devil came after me when I was a little girl with that perverted, foul devil to molest me and all this other stuff, if God would not have healed me, delivered me, and me allow God to do this, to get that perversion out. I've told you about when I got baptized and how it left and yada, yada, you know, because God used that to go and battle this thing all the way up there. So what I'm trying to tell you is there are witches in the highest level of our government that are working against us. And we found out through that one woman that I interviewed that the CIA, they have infiltrated churches and put pastors in to get people to go their way, which now in the end we see what they've done. Because a lot of these people are pushing everybody into the beast right now. And it's really sad, and it's all witchcraft. It's divination, you know, which is why in ministry, you know, you should have rules, you know. Women should minister to women and men minister to men. You know, Dennis is going to minister to the men. I will minister to the women. Do y'all see what I mean? Because you have to, you know, protect your ministry and stuff like that. But anyways, going back to the government, though, that is what you're seeing on the global stage right now, is the partnership with that foul devil. Because remember, God, you know, he told me to confront that devil whenever I moved to Washington, D.C., and I did have to confront it in the beginning when I prophesied to the Republican Party and to President Trump in front of the White House. Remember that? And this is when the LGBT threatened them at the National Mall in 2018 and said, "If you do not partner with us in 2020, we will not vote for you. You have to cross over to the LGBT agenda." And so that's when the Lord gave me a dream and told me to go to the White House and say it in front of everybody and prophesy, you know, "Thus saith the Lord, if you people partner with this perverted, foul devil that is wanting to take our country into this terrible way that it is, the Lord will stop time. There will be no more time." And sure enough, that is what happened. And the Lord had me up there to show me this. Why me? I don't know. But the fact that I'm a scribe and have written all them books, you know, to show what's happened to our country and what they've done to our Constitution and everything else, you know. But people are going to do what they're going to do, type of deal. But I just want to show you this morning, what is witchcraft? So that you know when you're out here dealing with people what it is, okay? So I have one other thing that I want to read to you, and then I will be done, and then I will open up the prayer lines this morning. Okay, this one is on a website called English Heritage from the United Kingdom about witchcraft. Okay, it says, a journey into witchcraft beliefs. The history of witchcraft is complex and often raises more questions than answers. Where does it come from? Okay. Most people think witches are a Christian invention, but the idea of the witch who flies in the night and draws power from dark cosmic forces to work her ill will on others predates Christianity probably many centuries, which we know that is true type of deal. In Homer's Odyssey, okay, Okay, in later centuries, constant attempts to defeat heresy brought to light a number of figures who were difficult to reconcile with Christianity. Such figures were typically created without reference to witchcraft at all, but led to the creation of the figure of the heretic witch. One such figure was peculiar to the Western Alps. She was the female embodiment of winter. Okay, I don't feel like reading all this. What the world? Okay, well, I don't want to read their definition. I want to tell you a couple of stories, though, about what I've went through over the years with witchcraft. One is when I was in Washington, D.C., and I was praying with that prophet over those Masonic buildings, and the witches traveled, they spirit traveled to the apartment, and they could not cross the bloodline. Where I had pleaded the blood of Jesus over our porch, my porch, which was kind of in an L shape because I was on the corner of the tower. And, but they'll do that. They will spirit travel and they will try to visit people and spy and stuff like that. It's hard to believe, but it really does happen. Another time that that happened was when I was going to interview a guy that was going to be a warlock for the Church of Satan. And he had served Satan for 30 years. And I had interviewed him on the radio. It was a really awesome interview. So he ended up in prison where he didn't have nowhere to live. So they put him back in prison. And so I went to visit him in the prison. And so I got about 5 miles from the prison. And I was worshiping the Lord in my car, and I felt them surround my car. And the Lord has given me clues on how to know when they get near. And so, of course, I address them, and I tell them, in the name of Jesus, you will not stop me from meeting with him. I command you to leave, yada, yada. Well, I have been in my news shows where they have tried to infiltrate my shows, you know, and I've had to address it there. Some of you guys may have been on those news shows, you know. You may have witnessed when I've had to address it in the spirit. But the point that I'm trying to make this morning is to make you aware of what is a witch, what does the word say about a witch, and what do we do about a witch? So when I open up the prayer lines, if you have any insight into how you have handled witches in the past or what you know, I would like for you to share that wisdom with us this morning. But basically, as far as like them coming in the church, what they do is they come in and they want to be a part of your prayer team. That's one of the first things they want to do. They want to get in the prayer team because they want to get next to the pastor. And then they want to infiltrate the closest people that are closest to the pastor. And then they want to begin to bring doubt and confusion to the team and bring division between the leadership. And it's a very serious thing because it can split ministries. It can split up, you know. because people, I guess, fall for it or whatever. But anyways, I want us to pray this morning. And when I open up the lines, I would like for you to pray. And we are going to nip this in the bud today. I have requested a meeting with all these people that's involved with this deal against me. I'm asking for a meeting today so we can address it, pray about it, and nip it in the bud. So I want you to pray with me that we will be able to find peace here, because this is ridiculous. I won't put up with it. And so I want to get it addressed today. All right, so let's all pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for bringing this to my attention this morning in a dream. I am so thankful to you, Lord, for warning me in dreams. You always do. And I pray, Lord, you open this up so that we can have a meeting today and we can all find peace and pray together and nip this thing in the bud, Lord. And I just thank you and I give you the battle, because I'm not the one that fights this battle. So I thank you for providing peace in this situation, Lord. And I thank you for deliverance for everyone involved. In Jesus' name, amen. And I pray for everyone that is listening to this, that if they have situations in their life where they have the same type of deal, yes, Miss Kimberly, you can. If they have the same type of deal, Lord, that you would give them the wisdom on how to handle their situation as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to start out with Canada this morning. I forgot to tell all you guys that we are going to have a fasting and praying event. See, now I know. God wants, we got some warfare we got to do April 1st through the 3rd. Go on the website, goem.us, and register on our events page. We got some serious warfare going on, and there's a lot of people that need healing and deliverance right now, so I encourage you to go on there April 1st through the 3rd. Okay, we're going to add this onto the recording today because people listen to this all over the world. If you have a family member that got caught up in witchcraft or is caught up in witchcraft, we're going to deal with that right now. And we're going to ask God if we have opened up the door somewhere, and then repent. Because, you know, we do know there's a such thing called the parent gate, where we open doors and our kids pay the price, but we're going to repent about it and we're going to ask God to shut that door so that it does not affect any kids or any other kids. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray. And first, I want to tell you this to those that are listening. This is coming from a lady on the prayer line that had an experience with a witch, and then this witch to this day still has her daughter bound up. So we are going to pray this morning that that daughter gets unwound from that witch, and that through the power of agreement, because we have all these people that are live right now on this line, and then all these people that will be listening later, to come in agreement for our children to be set free from witchcraft. Okay, we're going to take dominion and authority. All right, so here we go. So Lord, we all come together in agreement this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your word is the truth. And Lord, I thank you that when your word says that when two or more agree as touching anything, that prayer will be answered, Lord. And we're together in agreement right now over all of our children. Lord, for all of our children that are or have been bound up in witchcraft, Lord, we ask you to forgive us as parents for any door that we have opened to the enemy into our house. We repent. We renounce Satan. We renounce the occult. We renounce witchcraft. We tell you to leave our house. You have to exit and go out that door. You cannot torment our children anymore. You cannot haunt our children anymore. You cannot have influence over our children anymore. We command you to leave. We take dominion and authority. These are our children. And we take dominion and authority over them. And we tell you to take your hands off them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you from the north, south, east, and west, Lord, send angels to them. Angels to our children right now, God, to fight the warfare that is going on over our children. Lord, we know that we do not battle in the natural, that our battle is with principalities and powers of the air. It is the spirit world that we battle. And I thank you, Lord, that as your children, you have given us dominion and authority. In the name of Jesus, when we are your children and when we give you our life, Lord, you have given us the authority to stomp on snakes and scorpions, Lord. That is what your word says. So this morning, Lord, we just declare right now in the atmosphere that our children, that the clutches of the enemy and all witches, spells, incantations, and curses, and the occult would be loosened off them right now in the name of Jesus. That all chains would come down right now in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every yoke off our children. In the name of Jesus, every ungodly influence in their life, Lord, remove that in the name of Jesus. Lord, any deception going on in their life, Lord, free them from that in Jesus' name. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord, for deliverance and healing, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us, for opening the door in the parent gate. Thank you, Lord, for that, Lord, healing and delivering us. Lord, healing us from the hurts and pains of what we've seen in our children. And Lord, I thank you that, and we need to address this right now, so everybody listen here. Every word that has come out of our mouth that has spoken against our children's destiny, we renounce that right now in the name of Jesus. We renounce every word we spoke against our children's destinies in the name of Jesus. Every negative thing we have spoken against their destiny or their purpose, coming in agreement with what the enemy is doing in their life, we renounce that. We don't give the enemy glory with our tongue. We ask you to forgive us for that, Lord. And we thank you that our children, Lord, are going to be what you have called them to be, Lord, that we agree with heaven for their destiny. They're yours, Lord. They are your children. You brought them here for a reason. And your purpose and destiny for them is what we want today. Even more than our destiny for them. What you have in store for them, Lord. So we thank you and give you praise, Lord. We know that the battle is not ours, Lord. And we know that the battle is yours. But we know, Lord, as well, that we are your children, your ambassadors in the earth, Lord. And we agree with heaven. So we decree a thing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.